Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. This is your co-host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Did you see I messed up the music? Do you like that?
I like that. You got high-velocity music. You got me introducing the show. We're off to a great start.
This is what happens. We don't come in the studio for a few days. In my mind, it's Monday.
In your mind, it's Monday. Right. Because Monday and Tuesday, we were on a field trip, right?
Exactly.
We were down at the Georgia World Congress Center for the Training Magazine, Training 2012 Conference and Expo. And we were hanging out with our buds down there, Training Pros. That was a lot of fun.
Yes. Was that a record number of interviews? Or it's pretty close. Well, for 2 days straight.
We did like 50 interviews in 2 days. And I lost a little weight, you know, because I had the one $9 hot dog day, too.
They didn't feed us.
We called that the Training Pros Diet.
Right.
They worked us hard. But that was fun. Look at all the people that we met, all the learning professionals. We had the who's who, at least in Atlanta and from out of town, too.
Right. That was great. A lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. But now it's back to the grindstone.
And it's a continuation, though.
We still have Leanne Langford in the studio. We don't have her on the mic, but she's back in the bleachers giving us the high sign.
Right.
So in this segment, we are going to hear from some gentlemen with a little company you may have heard of, Coca-Cola Refreshments. And we're also going to hear from a lady with a performance consulting firm. So we've got Jonathan and Ben and Susan. Welcome to the show, gang.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. You know, I said it in jest, a little company you may have heard of, but still, let's let our folks know, what is Coca-Cola Refreshments up to these days, and what exactly is the core business of Coca-Cola Refreshments, and what's your role in that? If each of you would attack that briefly.
Well, Coca-Cola Refreshments serves all of North America. We're the bottling and distribution supply chain supplier for all of North America.
That sounds like a pretty big deal. And what is your role within that?
Ben and I work in the Learning and Development Center of Excellence.
Mm-hmm. So were you the ones that trained the polar bear?
The polar bear actually came with the merger.
Okay, so he was already trained.
Yeah, I would assume so. He just seems like a natural talent to me.
And then certainly from our scope, from our learning development piece, focusing on obviously those knowledge and skill components for about 70,000 associates in the United States and Canada through whether it's sales, product supply, our enabling functions, which focus on legal, HR, those type of entities, just every single day, making sure we can get a nice Coca-Cola beverage in our consumers' hands.
And Susan Greathead, now, do you hang out with these guys? You know these guys, or is this the first time you're meeting them here in the studio? What's the relationship here?
I do know these guys. I have worked with Coca-Cola Refreshments on a couple projects, so I am aware of them.
So, Jonathan, this Center of Excellence, tell us a little bit about that. What compelled you guys to put this thing together, and what are you trying to accomplish through that?
Execution at all levels. We want to be the best brand, sales, and customer service company in North America.
Wow, this guy does not
aim low.
why aim lower?
So tell us a little bit about some of the content that you share with these. How many gazillion associates?
We have about 70,000 associates.
70,000 people. What kinds of things are you teaching them? And are you guys sitting up on high with Susan and drinking your Coca-Cola beverage of choice and deciding what these 70,000 need? Or are they coming to you and saying, boy, we sure wish we had more training and development and learning in this topic or that topic?
You know, it's a great question. And
you hear that?
It is a
one to nothing.
So we do a great question.
I'm going to keep track for you here. So we'll put one in your box.
Perfect.
So in terms of who comes to whom, it really works both ways. Obviously we want to make sure we're meeting the needs of the business, because if we're not doing that, we are not successful in our roles. Whether it's functional training, you know, how can we go out and really sell our beverages? How do we make sure we're adding value? It's not just about selling Coke. It's making sure we're selling a Coke experience and making sure our consumers and customers find value in what we do. So at the end of the day, maybe it's a new software program, maybe it's a new routine or process, maybe it's just updating existing processes and routines that we have. And that, again, those vary. It gets very, very technical in our product supply, warehouse, and distribution side. It's also more of what you would think as routine sales in our sales division. It truly does vary. We know from our corporate offices here in Atlanta, there may be kind of top-down directive of process, so we help roll that out with our field operations folks. And sometimes our field operations folks comes to us and say, you know what, we need to do this better. We want to enhance their performance. We want to just, again, make this better. And we help them do that through performance consulting and through, you know, great instructional design.
So that would be helpful right now. Maybe we go to Susan to start with the answer to this question. Help us get a handle on the difference, if you would, Susan, between performance consulting and training. I'm operating under the impression those really are two different things, yeah?
Yes, they are, and that's a pretty important area in our business to make sure that there is some differentiation and that people in our area understand the difference. I think the easiest way to describe that is to actually give you an example. There's an example of a manufacturing plant, and the people, the employees in the plant, were not wearing their safety glasses. So the training department was asked to conduct some safety training for those individuals, and they did conduct the training. The statistics didn't change. The employees still did not wear their safety glasses. So they called in an outside vendor and asked them to conduct some better training so they would wear their safety glasses. And they conducted some better training, and the people still did not wear their safety glasses. So a second vendor was called in. And this vendor, instead of conducting the training, they went to the employees and they said, "Why don't you wear your safety glasses?"
Oh, there's an idea.
Wow.
And
how many consultants did it take to
talk to that? And the employees said, "Because they're not comfortable." So a 10-cent piece of foam was added to the safety glasses, wow, and the population changed their behavior and started wearing their safety glasses.
So that's a great consultant.
And it's quite the difference between just conducting training when we think training is the answer to finding out what's the real problem and how do we solve that performance problem.
So that's how you get the Coca-Cola refreshments gig instead of the Joe's taxidermy performance consulting gig, right?
There you go.
Well, you know, all kidding aside, a large part of our listenership, you know, they aspire to work with these big marquee companies. Is there some secret code, or did you just hang in there long enough to get called up and you got your shot like on American Idol? How did you get in? And maybe the more important question, how did you stay?
Well, I work with a number of different companies, and I do work primarily in design and development of training. And I am more of a training consultant. But in order to be a good training consultant, you want the results to change performance. That's the idea of training, is to make a change in people's performance and people's behavior. So in order to do that, you really have to get good at being a performance consultant if you want good results. There's a lot of people out there that would be happy just to conduct training, but the idea is for those in our profession that really care about the results, we have to find out what are the questions we need to ask to make sure we're going to get good results. And you know, that's where we really want our industry to go.
Now, Jonathan, Ben, do you guys have a specific set of criteria that you know if these boxes get checked, you know what, we're going to go outside and at least talk to some people external to come help us with some of this? Or is it just sort of a gut feel? How do you decide when and when not to go out and take advantage of some external expertise?
Scope would be my knee-jerk response to that. I'm currently working on a project where the scope is 11,000 of our employees. So you know, one instructional designer going out and trying to conduct, say, job task analysis for this.
Can't you just send them a text?
You could, because I do have Blackberries. But right. You know, we need to do some time studies. We need to understand exactly what they're doing now, and so we can document current state. And to do that, you really need to leverage the expertise of a vendor. The other thing that comes to mind as I'm thinking through this is legal implications as well. So when you're talking about a population that may be under contract, like union, then you need to consider, well, if
we're not trusting that to Ben, we're going to get a pro.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's get somebody else to assume the liability of getting this right, and we'll take their work and build, you know, an excellent, robust training off of it.
Now, how do you guys assess if your stuff is working? Like, do you have an ROI? Is there an objective? Is this cost neutral, or is this revenue producing? Do you guys keep track of any of that?
We do, and we're certainly always looking at ways to make that better and better. Certainly since our integration of really combining multiple entities within the Coke system, we are continuing to look at how do we best measure effectiveness in training or some sort of learning event. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, whether it's facilitator-led training, whether it's true organization organizational effectiveness or change management function. It just really depends on what that is. And a great example, to Jonathan's point, speaking to that 11,000 population group, how do you know it's working?
Right?
How do we know? I mean, obviously, we sit in Atlanta. We do get out in our marketplace and experience what's happening on the field. We do rely heavily on our frontline leadership teams to give us really anecdotal feedback, but we also use systematic levels of measurement as well, which are classically known. And we have a great research and measurement team within our Center of Excellence that helps us think through that systematically and, frankly, academically to make sure that we can put numbers and metrics to performance whenever possible. Now, there are some things we can't measure that well. I mean, some things are whether it's – we typically don't stay in the communication space. We have some great partners that help us do that. And by communication, I mean we're not expecting them to act or think differently necessarily as a result of some sort of training. To Susan's point, we're not necessarily trying to change behavior. We're letting them know that something's coming, et cetera. We don't typically live in that space. So that's not something we would necessarily measure.
So what are you guys doing, if anything, with respect to e-learning? I got to think 70,000 people or like one single project, 11,000 people, you are certainly doing something with e-learning, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Speak to that a little bit. What's been your experience? What have you learned that's been positive, and what mistakes might you keep the rest of us from making? We can benefit from your missteps.
Mm-hmm. The genius of e-learning, in my opinion, is scalability. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to leverage some of the best-in-class internet design to customize the interface of our learning portal. So one of the things that I think we're doing that is very unique and best in class is looking at how can we better distribute and enable access to the learning opportunities that we have.
Now, are you using any gamification? I mean, your brand kind of lends itself to that because it's kind of a fun brand. It's, you know, you're not accountants.
That's right. We do have accountants on our team. So in fairness to those folks downtown,
we love our accountants.
Finance folks, we love them.
But, you know, your people would probably be open to make it fun, the learning.
Absolutely right. And Jonathan and I live primarily in the sales space within Coca-Cola Refreshments. And it's interesting that you bring up gamification. So that's a great question.
That's a great question.
Man. I'm going to mark that down for you.
And interesting. Two?
No, now you're even.
And interesting.
And interesting.
So that's like a plus.
Is that a one? So we're
that's
gonna,
a plus.
That's a one plus for you. So to that end, though, we are looking at interactive board games. So whereas some of our training modules in the last year to 18 months have had physical board games, and a lot of companies use those type of things, whether it's group learning, whether it's around different processes in the sales space, how to go sell X brand more effectively. Well, we're trying to really put that through more electronic learning. Also social gaming, where I could play with Jonathan if Jonathan is in California. So we're trying to look and see.
You know, like safety with friends.
Very much, yes. I'm not going to give you credit for that one, no. Yes, yeah, so, but it's something, it's very similar to that.
Is that like Cafe World?
Yeah.
Okay, Farmville.
Farmville, that I know. So, and we're also limited to our technologies, and so we're partnering with our internal technology folks to make sure that we're where we need to be from a hardware and software perspective. And we're making significant investment in the technology space at Coca-Cola Refreshments to make sure that we can help enable those capabilities on the front line.
Now, Susan, go ahead.
Well, I was going to just take it down to a lower level and say that there are a lot of companies that use e-learning that don't have the population that Coca-Cola Refreshments have. And therefore, they probably will not go to some of the areas that Coca-Cola Refreshments might be able to that Ben just mentioned. However, in any learning, there are still some criteria that most e-learning programs, if they're designed well and with the performance of the employees in mind, then the more interactive the e-learning is and people really being able to participate with the e-learning, that they're really thinking, they're asked to think. They're asked to put the situation, you know, it's more of a situation. They're asked to make a decision about that situation as opposed to provide just information. You know, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. But here's a situation that you might be in with a customer. Which of these scenarios do you think might be the best selection and why? Mm-hmm. Gets people to really think about the learning, and they're more likely to remember it.
Yeah, and to Susan's point, we're also looking at simulation branching and those type of interactivity pieces, yeah, too, on a much smaller scale whenever we can. So, yeah, we're always looking at what's the next thing we can do to incorporate into our learning portfolio. So
I think it might be interesting to do some of what you're describing there in the recruiting process. You know, we were at a thing last night, Lee and I, where a guy was talking about behavioral interview. You know, like, tell me about a time when. But what you're describing, maybe you could apply some of the simulation, these scenarios, to people that you're considering for a job in that position. Maybe you're already doing that. I don't know. But it strikes me as kind of a cool idea.
Well, that's interesting because I don't know if Jonathan and Ben have been involved with this, but I have done some training on recruiting and hiring and managing, you know, when you're for managers to hire people. And the behavioral interviewing is exactly that. It's setting up a scenario and asking people, you know, what in their past have they done that is similar to that scenario, so they can get a real life example of their behavior as opposed to how people say they would behave, which is very different.
You're right about that.
So using technology, e-learning, makes perfect sense to me to teach some skills and probably for repetition and practice on even some of those skills that are a little tough to get your arms around, like leadership. Can you do performance consulting through that medium, or do you just got to be belly-to-belly, face-to-face to do performance consulting, Susan?
Well, I think performance consulting comes first. You know, performance consulting is more about identifying why are people not behaving or performing in the way you'd like them to, or you have a new standard. You want to get them up to a new standard. And how do you close the gap between where they are now and where you'd like them to be in the future? And so the performance consulting is around identifying what has to happen in order to close that gap, or what might be preventing people from performing well now. So for example, this isn't necessarily a Coca-Cola Refreshments example, but it could be typical of any company.
It's not about them, Susan. This show is about you, and we're just letting them.
Oh, it's all about me. Okay, well, now we're good. So another example might be a company where people are delivering product, for example, a beverage, and their job change has been they're asked to spend more time organizing the product on the shelves and making sure they're all face forward, et cetera, in the right place. And that's wonderful. We can develop training around that. We can communicate that. We can encourage people to perform in that new behavior that we're asking them to spend more time doing than they have done in the past. However, if we look at the bigger picture and we look at the fact that their incentives are around the quantity of product that they deliver, then their new behavior is not going to take. You know, people are not going to work against themselves and the awards that they've already received or they plan to receive. So we have to look at the bigger picture, and I would say that comes before the identification of what we're going to put in the training and how we're going to put it into the training. It's a bigger picture to decide, is training part of the solution? And if so, what part of it what else do we need to consider?
So what's next for you guys? Disney World's the answer, right? No, I mean, you guys, you are at the top of your career here. You are big wigs in a large organization running this learning and development practice. What's next? What's on the horizon for you guys?
Jonathan?
I don't know about this top of my career thing.
Yeah, about that.
We're going to have to talk about
that. Is this like bad news?
Now he's not going to get promoted.
No, I think I appreciate what you're saying. For our listeners out there who may be thinking about making a move into a corporate learning environment, certainly I respect that there may be looking at us for some direction on how to get there. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure, okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right, well, I can only speak for myself. I've been a learning professional for a long, long time, and at a point in my career, I made a conscious decision, hey, I'd really like to move into a space where I can practice this thing called human performance improvement. I think that looking at where your skill set is and trying to match that to the right job, whether it's a technical writing position, and there's a lot of opportunities around that, you can certainly get your foot in the door.
Go ahead.
Well, no, that's the question. Talk to us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think from that perspective, it's truly to find what you're passionate about. And if you're passionate about the learning space and workplace learning and performance training, whatever you want to call it, right? It's the stuff that we do every day. If you truly love what you do, and you're looking at potentially a large corporation like the Coca-Cola Company or Coca-Cola Refreshments, you need to align your values with the values of that company. And so, I mean, I know I personally would not be with Coca-Cola Refreshments if I didn't feel aligned to our brand, our vision, and where we are headed, which is all very exciting. And that sounds like corporate guy speak. And maybe it is, but...
It is.
And
but you do it very
not
well.
But, well, thank you. I am a corporate guy after all. But it's an and. And I agree with it, and it's the right direction. And to be for us in our careers, I mean, I wouldn't say the top of our careers yet, because I know we both have a lot to look forward to. We're doing some really exciting things.
Yeah.
And for people, and I know we have a long way to go. And it's going to take a lot of people to get us there and a lot of help to get us there. But if people are just starting out, to Jonathan's point, you're not going to go from 0 to 10 overnight. You really want to, you know, work your way up. And we can all look back in our careers within Learning Space, although I don't want to speak for the folks in the room, but I know for myself, you know, starting as an early on instructional designer, like, what is this thing called instructional design? How does it work? What's this ADDIE model thing? You know, and then obviously, you know, formal education helps a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there and get the experience you need.
Now, what's the thing in your job that when you accomplish it, you're like, high fives all around. Let's, you know, we're all doing the wave in the office.
We do that every day in the office. You know, for me personally, it's when the light bulb goes off, when people mm-hmm. get it. And you can just see it, you can feel it. And in the corporate environment, we don't get to have that connection as much.
Do you see the light bulb go off, or when you're dealing with thousands and thousands of people, you know, it's all happening all over the
world? It's harder.
It gets really bright.
It's harder. Yeah. Exactly. It's a very bright light. It is more difficult, certainly at the corporate level.
Right.
And you do rely on your partners out in the field to help you see that.
You got to be tuned into the business to get that feedback loop. It's all about performance. So every quarter when our executives talk about the state of the business, I tune in. It's important to listen.
Right.
Ben and I know that we're doing a good job because our sales folk are out there, you know, kicking butt, and that's
right.
That's
so
what you look for.
Taking the credit for that.
You got to find it where you can.
Yeah, exactly.
That helps him sleep better at night.
Now, yeah. For me, the light bulb went off when I worked with a utility company.
Pun.
And in that particular project, the people in the customer service department, they're looking at their customer satisfaction metrics. So we're talking about how do we know when we succeed and when do we get the high fives. And their customer service department, the scores were fairly low. They really wanted to move those scores up. And so there was we looked at a lot of different direction, and the company was looking at a lot of direction in terms of how to make that happen. So one of the areas that we looked at was the training and looking at how are they trained when they first come into the company. So for 6 weeks, they have systems training. They're trained how to put data into the computer, how to get data out of the computer, how to handle the problem of the getting that data managed. So we took the training and we changed it entirely around scenarios. So we're looking at, you know, when a customer A calls, what's their problem? And how do you solve that problem with the system as your tool? So then you look at customer B, and, you know, so maybe customer A was setting up new service. Customer B, maybe they have an outage and they don't have any power. And so how are you looking at solving their problem using the system? So not only was the training condensed because it made more sense to people, it didn't take as much time to learn it because it was around handling the real issues that they dealt with out in the floor in the order and the process in which they would deal with them. But the customer satisfaction scores went way up. And, you know, that's a high five when you really see some results in that way and the people there feel like they've been trained more adequately and they're doing their job better and they're getting better scores and results, metrics as a result, because they look at those metrics every day. Mm-hmm. We don't always have that opportunity, as Ben mentioned. Not everything can be evaluated as carefully, but when we do, it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone in the room, with the exception of my co-host Lee, I think, has some relationship with ASTD, some involvement with ASTD. Is that accurate?
Yes.
I'd like to hear from both of you, because I think we're probably going to get some different answers, some different perspectives, because we have a a small consulting concern, and we have this large corporate giant. But Jonathan and Ben, first, if you guys would speak to how does a large organization get the most out of their participation in an association like that? What advice can you share with other large organizations?
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Get involved. I can't tell you how much value I got from being involved at a local level with ASTD. Just hearing some of the folks who are sitting in my seat now present and talk and just having an opportunity to network helped me to understand, you know, what they do and how I can do what they do.
Absolutely. And for me, I'm involved. I'm a CPLP, Certified Professional Learning and Performance through ASTD. That was a very exciting program for me. I did that. It's time for my recertification. So if you're out there, get recertified. that's my little plug. But that helped me tremendously, particularly within that subset of the ASTD program, because it's a very small group of people that have that certification. But outside of that, to Jonathan's point, networking and meeting new folks, and it's really to help you really see beyond your silo, right? And silo is not a negative term in this instance, because you want to say, oh, well, that company X is having a similar challenge that I am, or, you know, maybe I can, bring that best practice over and help incorporate it into what we're doing in our space.
Now, does Coke say, hey, you guys join ASTD, or did you guys just do that on your own?
It's not certainly not mandatory. I would call it supported, encouraged. Absolutely.
So they encourage you to get involved in organizations and associations like this
and take
leadership roles, or just to be a member, or that's up to every individual?
It's not so much articulated in any of those ways, other than because we are learning professionals, they obviously support us in that way.
Right.
I think it's also very much an individual thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people may find, you know what, I'm a learning professional, but I don't feel like I need that ASCD piece.
Right.
That's okay, but try it. Go out, make a connection, go to one of the meetings and just
But
and
it's
see
not
what
part
think.
Of a development plan. That's not, they don't talk in those terms of, you know, you have to be active in so many organizations, things like that.
There's not a quota, right? There's not, they don't say you must be in 12 organizations, one per month.
It's a time commitment. A time commitment.
Yep.
It's not
and
like
we're busy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and we're all busy. I think, for certain individuals that may be part of their development plan to get involved, and not just ASTD, right? There's a lot of other great organizations out there.
But we're only talking about ASTD.
I know. I'm aware. Susan.
Well, before you go, Susan, I want to ask the white elephant question, because I got to believe if you're a big company, don't you sometimes feel like you got a little bit of a target on your back when you go to these associations?
Everybody wants to be your
friend.
Because
you got all these people that want to be your buddy and just get a shot. If I could just get 5 minutes with your CLO, boy, I could. I'm getting some nods, which
that
doesn't work
happens,
great
right?
on radio. But how do you? Or is ASTD one of those associations that does a good job of trying to not make that happen so much? Or speak to that a little bit, if you would.
From my experience, there are a lot of big fish at ASTD. Some of my fondest memories are the national conference, walking down the halls with folks like Allison Rossett and Ruth Clark, Mark Rosenberg, folks like that.
Yeah, you know me and Mark, we're tight, right?
Yeah.
I interviewed him just the other day.
Are you now? Okay, well.
We can send you that interview.
Yeah, I'll send you the picture. Leanne has the picture. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What'd you do with his autograph?
That's right.
Ask him what he did with Stone's autograph.
Exactly.
I recall a friend of mine at an ASTD meeting, just like a kid in a candy store, just as you described, running around, meeting folks and making connections. And that's what's so great about it.
Okay, cool. All right, Miss Susan, how do you get the most out of your relationship with ASTD?
Well, for me, it's been an incredibly wonderful relationship. I happen to be chairman of the board of directors this year, which you probably don't know, as a senior advisor. And so I've been very involved in a lot of different roles over the years. And it's been incredibly valuable to me, both on the side of learning about what we do, getting better at what we do. A profession is years of continuous learning. You're learning all the time from your own experiences, from the experiences of others, from the network shared with others. So in addition to the learning aspect, it's been the networking opportunity. I would say majority of my business has come through contacts through ASTD. Mm-hmm. And so that the opportunity to meet with people who would have the need for my services or basically pass my name to the people who do. So they might be my competitors at times, and then we share resources We work for each other sometimes, and therefore it's an incredible relationship with an organization from both points of view. Extremely valuable to me.
So, Lee, you know, we hung out with a lot of learning and development professionals over the last few days. Don't they strike you as a little more collaborative crowd than some of the other trade shows that we've worked at?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of...
You guys share more.
You know, best practice sharing. You know, they don't have, like, the secret sauce of learning that only one firm knows about and no one else knows. They're like, how do they learn so well over there? You know, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like everybody wants to share. And everybody's open to it. I mean, it's really a neat group.
It is. It's a fun group to hang out with. Now, most of our listeners, if they want to get their hands on a Coca-Cola refreshment, they know how to do that without any real direction from us. But some of them may not know how to reach out and connect with you, Susan. What's the best way for our listeners to learn more about Lead America training and the excitement that is Susan Greathead?
You can contact me directly. My email is sgreathead, G-R-E-A-T-H-E-A-D, at leadamericatraining.com.
Well, Jonathan, Keith, Ben Roberts from Coca-Cola Refreshments, Susan Greathead from Lead America Training, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We will see you all next time.